brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. We're experiencing lovely weather across the UK and Europe at the moment, and so many of us are outside enjoying our surroundings. But have you ever considered that the beauty and self-care products that you're using on your skin, including things like makeup and sunscreen, can have a damaging effect upon the natural environment around us? This week, I'm exploring two beauty brands that are very aware of this potential impact and work hard to ensure that they are developing products that are both effective in their use and safe for the environment. Green People is a brand that many of you will be familiar with, founded in 1994 by Danish-born Charlotte Foots. Her initial aim was to develop clean and natural products to help her young daughter, who was suffering from eczema. Back then, she was really ahead of her time with her belief that it is possible to formulate natural products that are highly effective. Flash forward to today, and she has truly succeeded with a huge following and an extensive product range to provide for the whole family. I'm honoured to be joined by Charlotte today, along with her now retired but trusted cosmetic scientist, Ian Taylor. Let's start, Charlotte, by talking to you first. Let's talk about the brand, how it came about, and what your sort of ethos for it has been.
Yeah, it actually started back in Denmark, as you can hear my accent. Yeah. I'm Danish. Back in 1994, I had a two-year-old little toddler with eczema, which a lot of parents are experiencing. I was working for my sins in the pharmaceutical. Previously, I was trained as a nurse, but went into the pharmaceutical. And I was doing clinical trials with dermatologists and obviously went to ask for help. And the standard answer was, oh, just put some steroids on the skin and you will clear. And I didn't like that idea. So I started to research what I could do in the more natural world. And to my horror, I discovered that a lot of natural products, a majority, contained less than 1% natural ingredients. Mm.
Yeah,
and I thought this is not right. You know, to launch yourself as a brand being natural and hardly have any natural ingredients in.
Yeah.
So from that day, my mission really started. Started with my daughter having allergies, and myself trying to find a solution for skin problems.
And you've grown an amazing following, haven't you? Really, with like-minded people that share that ethos with you. Really,
absolutely.
So, I mean, tell me about some of the hero products that you actually have within the brand. What are your biggest sellers?
We have launched for our 25th anniversary a heritage kit, which contains three of the hero products. One is called Gentle Cleanse, so it's a cleanser. And then there is a vitamin fix and a fruitful night. So the fruitful night is a night cream, which will slightly help to exfoliate your skin without harming it. And the vitamin fix is a day-night moisturizer. So what you do is you apply the night cream first and tap it in slightly. And if you want to have the beautiful skin when you wake up in the morning, you tap a little bit of vitamin fix on top of it so the vitamins can penetrate the skin.
Yeah, sure.
And yes, that's the three key products have followed us for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ian and myself have done some tweaks. As you learn about new ingredients and new actives, you try to refine and make them even better. So it's a standard product.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, certainly in my experience, you know, I first came across the brand when I had children myself. I think a lot of people, you know, especially women, when you're going through pregnancy, you start really thinking about what it is you're putting onto your skin and how it's absorbed into the body. And so I think, you know, a lot of people find you in that way and then don't realize quite the range of products you've got as well, haven't you? It's a huge range.
Yeah, I think that's one of our problems is we like to formulate products. So it obviously started in a corner with a core range of 12 products. When Ian joined me, we got overly excited that we could together create new exciting products. So the baby care range expanded. We went into a children's range. When my late daughter, sadly, got a little bit older, she helped to create the teen range with Ian and myself. And it went on from there to there. And as Ian was a man, we needed a range
a
for men.
Range.
We were just a little bit too early with a lot of the different ranges because we were first when we talk about certified organic skincare for teenagers. and certified organic skincare for men.
Mm.
And sometimes to be the first is the hardest.
It really is. I mean, this is a tough market anyway, isn't it? I mean, everybody, you know, I talk about beauty in a way that it's not a vanity project. You know, we all use some sort of product on our body every day, even if it's only deodorant, toothpaste, shaving cream, whatever.
Yeah,
but actually, you know, there's a lot of change still afoot. I mean, I think in recent years, we've really felt some changes from consumers about what they want from their products. And so you're right, you know, being the first, you're often waiting for people to catch up and the market to
exactly.
catch up. Yeah.
And to understand that skin is different, whether you are maybe a child, a teenager,
yeah.
A young adult, or wrinkly and old like me.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
Sorry, I was delighted when Ian joined, because at that time before Ian joined in 1999, I was after several years of bombarding the soil association saying meet standards for organic health and beauty. I was finally invited to be a member of the committee to write the standards.
Amazing.
And when Ian joined, I think it was 2 years later in January, Ian went on to be the one that was on the committee. And when was it we launched, the standards were launched, Ian? Was it
2003, I think,
Yeah.
Association. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you need, isn't it? So, Ian, let's come to you then. So as the cosmetic scientist, you know, I've got so many questions for you, because obviously, you know, your brain power is behind, you know, trying to make these formulas work. And quite right what Charlotte said, you know, often you find that the percentage of natural or the percentage of organic isn't really what it should be. And you often find, I mean, I've always been quite alarmed by, you know, a product being allowed to call itself organic is permitted to only have sort of 10% organic ingredients in there. So,
or less than that.
Yeah, yeah. So Ian, tell me about some of the issues you had when you were trying to formulate these, you know, products that were really doing what they said and really containing what they said.
There is a lot of confusion over what constitutes an organic cosmetic. For example, under current trading standards legislation, it's perfectly admissible to sell organic lavender shampoo where only the organic essential oil is the only organic ingredient in the product, which could be there at less than 0.5%.
Yeah.
Technically, that is still organic lavender shampoo. So there is a lot of confusion. This is why we were so keen to get the Soil Association and subsequently EcoCert and Organic Food Federation on board to set standards for cosmetics and personal care products where they could be proven to be genuinely organic with much higher levels of organic ingredients. The biggest hurdle we faced in the early days was finding enough organic ingredients.
Yeah.
The organic movement was well established in terms of foods, foods and drinks, but cosmetics, it was so new that when you went to one of the big cosmetics exhibitions and said we're interested in making organic cosmetics, they will put their scientist's hat on and say, well, everything's organic because it's all carbon-based.
I know, it's crazy.
No, that's just not what we mean.
Yeah, no understanding of it, yeah.
There was no understanding.
Yeah.
That has now completely changed, and when you go to the large exhibitions now, every other raw material supplier will have an EcoCert symbol or a Soil Association symbol on their stand, showing that the ingredients are approved for use in certified organic and natural cosmetics, or indeed are certified organic in their own right. We have to accept that there are some ingredients that we have to use in some types of cosmetics that will, at the moment, they're just not available as organic. Things like surfactants, the emulsifiers, foaming agents, ingredients like preservatives. By very definition, it's virtually impossible to get these as certified organic ingredients in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean to say they can't be natural.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say they can't be from sustainable sources, which have a minimal environmental impact, both in their production and in their after use life, if you like, when they're rinsed away after washing or bathing or whatever. So it's a whole ecological concept that we've followed for the last 25 years. And I think, as Charlotte's saying, you know, we were one of the trendsetters in this. And what was back in those days very, very niche is now becoming more and more mainstream. partly driven by consumers' desires and consumers' wishes.
Yeah. And I felt a real shift in this. I mean, I've been in this industry many years as well, but especially over the last year, I'd say, you know, since COP26, I feel like consumers are now more than ever doing their research about products, and they understand what it means to be organic, and they also understand what it means to be a sustainable brand. You know, you talked about, you know, how things are, you know, agriculture of the ingredients as well. And I think that this is really driving brands now, isn't it? And there's more room for brands like Green People to say, well, yeah, well, here we are. We've been sticking our neck out for many years on this. Do you feel that, Charlotte?
Yes, absolutely. It's also increasing the competition, which means yes. that an old established brands like ours have to be on our toes.
Yeah, sure.
Because a lot of new startup companies very easily can buy bulk products and then they can put it into nice packaging and then sell it on.
Yeah.
Whereas here, everything is done by us in-house, formulations, the first test and samples, and then we go to production after it's been tested. And it takes at least 9 months from you start the process of formulating a product till it ends up in its packaging. And it takes, if we talk about other products such as sun lotions, it can take years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ian and I have had of nightmares when it comes to producing the highest quality sun lotions.
Yeah.
That doesn't damage the environment and doesn't harm the skin. It, I think it's a journey of 4 or 5 years at least, Ian.
Really?
Am I right?
Yes, yeah, indeed. Even just tweaking a formula, you know, changing one material, possibly because a previous supplier is no longer able to produce a raw material, that throws a huge spanner in the works because you've got to go back to basics. And particularly with sun lotions, you can't afford to take any risks whatsoever over the efficacy and safety of the product.
Well, I've got to say, I appreciate this is a real headache for you, but it's really comforting to sit here and talk to you about this and recognise that, you know, as a brand, by the time a product gets to those shelves, by the time I'm putting it on my skin and my family's skin, it's been rigorous. And, you know, you've taken that headache on, so I can really be rest assured knowing this is the best possible product you could have brought to market. So let's talk about sun creams. I mean, this particular program, we're talking about how certain beauty products, ingredients within certain beauty products, can have real damaging effects upon the environment. Because, you know, we've all in recent years become more aware of damages on to human health and the human body. And now, of course, hand in hand with sustainability, we start looking at the environment as well. And in particular, you know, reef, coral reef systems, even the waters around the UK, you know, can be really damaged by the chemicals that are used within sun creams. When they're, you know, you think about en masse, we're at the beaches, you know, and in the oceans, especially when we're on holiday. Let's talk about that. So, Ian, let's probably start with you. You know, your understanding of ingredients, which type of ingredients that are contained within standard sort of normal sun creams are those that cause the most damage to the environment?
Okay, so let's just look at some basics first in terms of sun care, sun protection. A sun care product is designed to filter out a proportion of both UVB and UVA radiation. Mm-hmm. UVB is the sort which causes burning, visible redness of the skin. UVA penetrates more deeply and causes long-term damage. So you need to use ingredients which will filter out these two types of ultraviolet light. And you can do that either using physical filters or chemical filters.
Yeah.
And they're physical filters and chemical filters. We use those terms to describe the method of their action. So a physical filter puts a physical barrier between sunlight in the atmosphere and our skin.
Mm-hmm.
These are often mineral filters like titanium dioxide and zinc oxide, and they physically bounce or reflect or refract sunlight away from the skin surface.
Mm-hmm.
A chemical filter, by definition, is one which protects the skin by undergoing a chemical reaction when exposed to UV light. So it converts ultraviolet light from its original wavelength into a different form of energy. Basically, it converts into heat.
Yeah.
And the heat has less effect on the skin, and therefore you've removed the harmful, potentially harmful effects of the ultraviolet light. In order to achieve broad spectrum protection against both UVB and UVA, you generally need a combination of different sun filters.
Okay.
Because some are effective very much against UVA and others effective against UVB. So you need to combine them together to provide this broad spectrum protection. Most of the physical filters are pretty inert, generally safe, and are not linked with any adverse effects. Chemical filters, on the other hand, can display weak hormone-mimicking properties. Mm. So they have weak estrogenic activity. And it is these which have been shown to affect coral polyps, the small creatures which create coral reefs. It's not known whether this effect is sufficient on its own to damage polyps to the extent where you get coral dieback, but combined with climate change and warming sea temperatures, this combination is being shown to have adverse effects on coral reefs.
Absolutely.
We've only got to look at the Great Barrier Reef out in Australia, and we're seeing vast swathes of it dying back. Mm. Now, it's no one's suggesting that that is caused by sun lotions and sun filters. That is almost certainly being caused by water temperatures rising. But anything else which causes stress to coral polyps is going to have a knock-on effect and going to exacerbate this problem. So we've always tried to avoid ingredients which might have any potential environmental impact. So ingredients such as oxybenzone and octinoxate, which are two that have been in the news quite a lot. These are the American names for them, by the way. Mm. They're not known as that in the EU. The EU, we call them benzophenone 3 and ethyl hexyl methoxycinamate. Yeah. So those are the names you'd see on.
I mean, sorry to interrupt you there, but this in itself, I think, causes mass confusion for the consumer because these are complicated terms anyway.
They are.
I'm often trying to find, simple tricks that consumers can use when you're looking at the ingredients. What is it you're looking for? Because it's absolute gobbledygook to a consumer, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It is. I mean, ingredients in the EU and therefore the UK use terminology called their INCI names, the International Nomenclature of Cosmetic Ingredients. And it's basically Latin, but it's chemical names. Yeah. But it does mean that wherever you are, pretty much around the world, you'll see the same name.
Yeah.
So it's independent of national languages. Mm. I'm afraid people need to learn these names or have a little an aid memoir written down to know what to avoid. But these two particular ingredients have been demonstrated to have weak estrogenic activity.
Yeah.
It is weak. It is not going to affect users putting them on their skin. It is unlikely at low levels to affect any aquatic organisms. But if it's sufficiently high concentrations and in conjunction with increased sea temperatures and other factors, all of which can influence corals, then yes, it may have a contributing factor to coral dieback.
Yeah.
Hence, it's important to avoid those particular ingredients, we feel. We choose our filters very carefully. And the first and foremost consideration is, are they safe for humans? Secondly, and just as important, are they safe for the environment? What evidence is there to suggest that they have estrogenic activity, that they can contribute to coral bleaching, that they can affect lower life forms as well as the more complex ones? If there's any doubt over those, we don't use them.
Sure.
We don't even consider using them. So we use other ingredients which are known and which have a very strong evidence base for their environmental safety. The first of these is titanium dioxide, which is a naturally occurring mineral. We use it as a nanoparticle. Mm-hmm. Now, all titanium dioxide in sun filters will be a nanoparticle. It has to be to have the right structure to interfere and reflect ultraviolet light.
Yeah.
Because if you use non-nano, the larger particles, it looks like you've got white paint on your skin.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually stop UV light. It's stopping light in the visible spectrum.
Sure. Okay.
So you need nano titanium to disperse ultraviolet light. There have been concerns raised about titanium dioxide in nano form because it is potentially very reactive. It has a large surface area to mass ratio, which means it can react with oxygen, particularly to form free radicals. Well, the manufacturers of sunscreen materials have known this for 40 years.
Yeah.
And so they developed processes way, way back where they coat the individual particles of titanium dioxide with an impermeable and permanent layer, usually of silica, like sand or glass, sometimes with aluminium salts. But that basically they're putting a coating on the titanium dioxide to prevent it from reacting with anything else.
Absolutely.
That makes it completely inert and therefore absolutely safe. The other concern that people have come across or come up with is the particles are so small that they're going to penetrate through the skin and enter the body and do all sorts of untold damage to us. Nonsense.
Yeah.
When the primary particles of titanium dioxide are incorporated into a sun cream or lotion, into an emulsion, they form aggregations. They clump together. They're held together by very strong molecular forces that you can't just separate them out.
Yeah.
And these aggregations are much too large to be absorbed through the skin. And heaven forbid, even if they were absorbed, because the particles are completely inert, they're not going to do anything. The body will just excrete them. So there is no reliable evidence to suggest that titanium dioxide, as used in sunscreens, has any adverse effects either on us as users or on the environment.
It's so good to hear this from a scientist that can explain it in a way that makes sense, because, you know, I often hear, you know, when one of the biggest comebacks from the industry towards natural products is that, oh, well, you're disregarding science. Natural products disregard science. You couldn't be more wrong, could you, really?
No.
You couldn't get further from the truth. And, you know, that explanation there proves it. You know, you've got to have a deep understanding of your ingredients, of your inkeys, you know, of the formulation that you're putting together, the reason why you're using those ingredients, what's the, you know, the end result you're looking for. You've got to have that science knowledge, haven't you, Charlotte?
And just to add to this, that's why one of our strap lines is nature and science in balance. It has always been important, especially with Ian's background and my own background in pharmaceutical, that products needs to work.
Yeah.
People need to be safe. They need to feel that, oh, they're buying green people product. Not only gives it a longer, it's longer lasting, you actually record it less is more. You can call it a concentrated formula, because we're not watering them down. We are adding high quality actives to all our products.
Yeah.
And there's thought behind every product.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about, you know, I mean, I appreciate if I was entering the water on my own and, you know, I had some chemical based filters on my body, me on my own isn't really going to cause a lot of issues. The issue is the en masse use of these chemicals, isn't it? That's the issue. And so what we're trying to encourage people to do is, look, just consider a more natural alternative, you know, and a lot of people, I suppose that what enters their mind is the fear, the worry that it won't work. But actually it does work, doesn't it? They can trust that these products are effective.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just to add to it, we have been working with the Marine Conservation Society since, I believe, 2011, which is now 11 years. And a part of our, what you call it, net profits goes to support charities. So 10% goes to charities, and we are supporting this charity quite heavily.
Yep.
And it has been a very nice collaboration, and it has been an eye-opener also for staff to see what people actually leave behind on the beach and in the sea. So we have had several times where all staff is out kicking up whatever you can find on the beach, and it's remarkable what you see. Not only on the beach, but in the sea.
And often, you know, a lot of people obviously listening to this may live inland and perhaps don't get the opportunity to holiday by the sea. But actually, this isn't unique to those living in coastal areas or holidaying in coastal areas, is it? I mean, Ian, you must be aware that, you know, you could probably explain far better than I can, you know, it all ends up in the ocean eventually, doesn't it? Through washing it off and, you know, through the sewage systems. I mean, it's something that we all need to consider wherever we're located, really.
Indeed. And of course, if people are inland, maybe in pools, ponds, lakes and so on, in those environments, you've got a more captive body of water. At least with the sea, you've got tides twice a day, which are flushing things around, moving them around. In lakes and ponds, the water is static and levels can build up far more quickly. And there are still lower life forms within those ponds that can be equally affected by chemicals.
Has this been this journey? I'm so interested with Green People because you're such an established brand and a brand that, you know, is incredibly familiar to, well, globally. You know, obviously, Charlotte, you started the brand thinking more about what's going on your daughter's skin, and actually finding an alternative to perhaps pharmaceutical or chemical based ingredients. And now it's kind of evolved, doesn't it, into looking more at environment. Have you felt that journey shift with you? You know, it's, we think about humans first, and then all of a sudden there's this real shift towards looking at the world around us a bit more. Have you felt that?
I think that's from where I come from, Denmark, where I think we're probably 10 years ahead of the UK.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that respect, when it comes to natural, organic, and protecting the environment. It's always been within me to protect the environment. So it goes hand in hand. When you think about the word organic, it is automatically there to protect the environment as well, because you're not allowed to use pesticides and crops and all these things.
Mm. Ian, can we just touch on, I appreciate we're talking about sort of damages to the environment, but I'd just like to touch on, just so people that maybe haven't dabbled with organic ingredients so far and they've maybe just, you know, relied on more traditional products, what harm can, you know, the buildup of pesticides cause? Why are organic ingredients so, so important to human health?
Okay, so here we're looking at organic agriculture, really.
Yeah.
And the way that we grow products. The Soil Association and Lady Eve Balfour in the formation years of that organisation came to the conclusion that the soil in which we grow products is actually a living entity in its own right. And we know this now. A huge amount of work has been done on soil health. And it's now known that there are more bacteria in one teaspoonful of healthy soil than there are human beings on the planet. Gosh. Which is a very sobering thought.
It's like a universe.
Soil is actually comprised of living things, bacteria, fungi, yeasts, molds, viruses, and they're all working as a symbiotic organism. The minute you start putting pesticides, fungicides, and other toxic chemicals into this soil, you are destroying some or all of those organisms which make up soil. Persistently doing this over a long period of time, you will basically end up with sterile growing medium, which, yes, okay, roots can still penetrate into it and pick up water. The plants can be held upright through their root structure. But in terms of the health of the plants and therefore the health of the harvest you get from those plants, we're looking at a much impoverished food source. And so organic agriculture, which preserves the health of the soil and indeed enhances it over time, can only lead to healthier foodstuffs. And if we don't have healthy foodstuffs, we know that human health will in turn suffer. So soil health is absolutely crucial. And organic agriculture and the use of organic materials in cosmetics, for example, does at least guarantee that they're coming from sources, like agricultural sources, which enhance and embellish the soil rather than impoverish it.
Yeah. I mean, that's brilliant, because I often hear people saying to me, well, why do you spend so much money on organic foods and self-care products? And it's very difficult to get across to people, actually, it's so much better for you. It's better for the environment. It's better for the longevity of everything, you know, to actually just, you know, go for that. And I do appreciate that, you know, especially at the moment, we're all experiencing, you know, the cost of living increasing. And so are you looking to sort of make sure that your products, you try and keep them at the same level price-wise, Charlotte? Are you,
it's a very interesting and challenging subject, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're hit by price increases left, right, and centre. Give you an example that some essential oils have increased by several hundred percent. We know all about the fuel prices. When fuel prices gets up, then you have the packaging problem, because packaging needs energy to be produced, and raw materials, they have to be transported, and so on and so on. And salaries goes up, which means when you're a manufacturer, you, the cost of the final products will go up. Mm. So I feel that this year has been the hardest, probably the hardest so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had tough times through the COVID pandemic, which is still not over, I believe. But we have been hit so badly, and we will have to pass some on to the end consumer, but we're doing everything we can to keep it at a minimum. So I'll give you an idea, and on average our product prices for us to the finalized product has increased around 20%, and we are probably passing on 5 to 6%.
Yeah, so a minimal amount. Yeah. I mean, it's, I've made that point because I think it's really important for consumers to understand, you know, you're still trying to do this good work. You're still trying to produce these, you know, products to the highest possible standard that is attached to your ethos of your brand. And it's incredibly difficult at the moment to continue doing that. And there are brands out there that would just, you know, quietly ignore their ethos a little bit to start choosing, you know, cheaper ingredients. But you wouldn't do that.
So,
you just wouldn't
and that is exactly the issue, that a lot of companies will say, hands up, we can't do this anymore. We're not earning enough money. We can't keep the staff on and so on, so they will probably go in the direction of, oh, what the heck, let's just forget about organic, let's just have some natural ingredients and water the products down.
Which is really sad, actually, when you think, you know, how many years, you know, 25 years of hard work that you've put in, you know, you think it would be really sad to just fold on that, really.
But we won't do that. That's not what we're all about.
No, that's really comforting to hear. And I know there'll be lots of people that already use your products that that's a comfort to them. And actually, you know, we're all having to tighten our belt, but at least we know that, you know, what you're doing, you're sticking with it, and it means something. So let's talk about, I mean, we've touched on quite a lot actually today, which is great, because I know that you're such a, I mean, obviously the program itself is looking at sort of environmental damage, but I know because you're such a well-known brand, all of this will be of such interest to people listening in. But let's talk about where people can actually buy your products if they don't already. I know you've got a website, but also which retail outlets can they find them in?
So obviously, in especially the last couple of years where there's been issues with having products in shops because shops were not trading, we have grown our websites tremendously. And that would be greenpeople.co.uk, where you can find the products. But we are also in independent health stores across the country, here in the UK. You can find us with key e-tailers. So some of our e-tailers, Naturissimo, Be Fantastic, or Be Unique, will stock it. And up to Ocado. Ocado is a fantastic way to shop. If you haven't got time and or you want things just to be delivered by, to your door and avoid people in a supermarket, Ocado has... I believe nearly all our products stopped. And then, I know that some products also can be sold on Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's worth checking out your website because it's full of information as well, and gives such great in-depth information about every single product as well, no matter what you're looking for. So I'd advise people to just spend a bit of time while they're browsing and just to have a look at that.
I would say thank you to all the customers that have stopped by us over the years. It's been amazing. We have so many loyal customers, and they've been there for years. The new obviously coming to the brand, which is great to see. But I really feel that without our loyal customers, we wouldn't be here, to be honest.
I think that comes down to the quality of the product, to be honest. You know, most people, when you find something that works, that not only sits with your own sort of, you know, ethos and morals, but also then works, does exactly what you're looking for it to do, you know, you're unlikely to be shifted away from that. So
I don't know if you know that we've opened our first shop in Horsham.
I'm not aware of that. Okay.
You know, we have a little shop in Horsham. It all started in Horsham, and I know it's a silly little story, but when initially the initial products were formulated, I went around with a cardboard box to try to sell them in to various health stores. And the first shop was in Horsham called Natural Way. And I came to the shop every Tuesday to present the product, and then 3 Tuesdays went, and I thought, oh, it's annoying, why can't I get him to take the product? So Brian, that was the store owner, he said, okay, next time you come in, Charlotte, I will stock the products.
Yeah.
So I went out and I thought, he said, he didn't say next Tuesday, he said next time. So I went around the block into the shop again and he laughed and he said, I'll stock your products now. So the shop that we have opened is literally 5 to 10 meters from the where it all started.
What a lovely full circle for you as well. I mean, that's
it was
I mean, brand owners, you know, there's some wonderful stories. I think I could do a whole show just talking about the brand owners' stories, which are great. You know, we can all relate in some way to the tenacity that you need to have to get something off the ground like that. But well, thank you both for joining me. It's been incredibly insightful. Thank you, Ian, for being one of those scientists that's able to explain things in a way that we get. I'm always grateful for that. I mean, I love science, but you know, for most of us, it's a bit over our heads sometimes, isn't it? So thank you for explaining it with such clarity. And continue with the most amazing good work and the great products. It's brilliant. Well, thank you for coming on the show, both.
And thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Have a lovely day.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Coral reefs around the world need our help. In the past 50 years, global warming, overfishing and land use have killed over 50% of reefs worldwide. This compromises marine biodiversity along with millions of human livelihoods. More recently, a new kind of threat has been discovered on the reef, and that's in the form of sunscreen pollution. The chemical UV filters that are contained within 97% of sunscreens have been linked to coral death and disease, along with the increase of coral bleaching, DNA damage, and the paralysis of coral larvae. Recognising the damage the beauty industry is doing to our oceans, reef scientists and partners in life Louise and Austin Lang formed People for Ocean. They travel the world to restore reefs most at risk and find new solutions to raise awareness for their protection. Seeing the impact sunscreen had on the ecosystems, they set out on a journey to create sun care that is harmless to themselves or the ocean life. I'm delighted to welcome Louise to the programme now, joining me from Australia. Louise, along with co-founding and directing People for Ocean, is also at the forefront of raising awareness of the damage that can be caused to our reef ecosystems. As a marine scientist herself, she is a world-leading reef restoration consultant. So welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me today on the show, Louise. Let's start by talking about your role and how you came about in creating People for Ocean.
Thank you, Natalie. Well, I have a marine biology background. In 2012, I traveled from France to Australia to study marine sciences at James Cook University, which is well known for its proximity to the Great Barrier Reef and excellent centers in coral reef research. So I quickly specialized in the study of reefs and got a passion for reef restoration, rehabilitation, which was quite a new field back then. And so we spent the last few years working hospitality groups. We gained a lot of experience in developing reef restoration techniques. So now I consult as a reef restoration strategist, taking on missions mostly in the Pacific Ocean, French Polynesia and Fiji recently. And I also co-founded with my husband, People for Ocean, which is a reef safe sun care brand who gives back to reef conservation. And finally, I'm also a mother. Our son Lucas was born last year. So yeah, we're keeping busy over here.
Congratulations on that. I know you've got your hands very much full now that you're juggling motherhood and business. It's really tough. So let's talk a bit about why sunscreens can be so negative towards reef ecosystems. And a lot of us, you know, everybody now is very aware that we need to wear sunscreens, but I think very few people are actually aware of the kind of impact that some of these chemicals can have on the marine wildlife. So can you talk us through the sort of ingredients that you would avoid and why?
Yeah. So it's all very new science. And even for us, we learned about toxins and sunscreen and sunscreen pollution in general back in 2015. So several ingredients in sunscreen, particularly UV absorbers, have shown toxicity on several marine species and can have a deadly impact on coral reefs, to the point that Hawaii voted a law this year banning two mainstream sunscreen ingredients to protect its coral reefs. So the industry has had to adapt and change its formulation since then. However, there's still a long list of ingredients that are still present in a lot of sunscreens that are both toxic to marine life and people as well. It's actually a bit of a human problem as well. The FDA published extensive studies in 2020 revealing that 8 common UV absorbers are systematically absorbed into bloodstream and detected in urine within 30 minutes of application. They accumulate in breast milk and placenta. I did a lot of research while being pregnant, and they even accumulate in semen. So these chemicals, they act as hormone disruptors within our bodies, and they do the same on marine life. So meaning their impacts are poorly understood, especially in the long term. So there's even been, we've done so much research since learning about sunscreen pollution. It's not only an environmental issue we've learned, but it's also one of public health. I mean, it's still very important to protect your skin from the sun. Don't get me wrong, but we've learned with all our research that it's important people start finding alternatives, safer alternatives out there, and they exist. To be more specific about how sunscreen chemicals impact coral reefs, so there's been studies showing how UV absorbers, when in contact with corals, disrupt coral reefs at the hormone level, even at very small concentrations. So on coral adults, when exposed to even small concentration of chemicals such as oxybenzone or octinoxate, it increases coral sensitivity to coral bleaching. So that means it increases their sensitivity to temperatures, and that means it makes them more susceptible to climate change. For example, corals will suffer faster from temperature stress. And the even more concerning impact is on the coral larvae. Baby corals, they swim in ocean currents in order to find suitable place to settle on a reef. They actively swim even against currents, so they need their motility to be able to settle and grow. However, studies have shown that contact with oxybenzone and octinoxate can cause paralysis and death of the coral larvae. So it's impacting the corals at different life cycles. Yeah. And even at very small concentrations, and you know how sunscreen chemicals usually stay at the ocean surface.
Yeah.
Coral larvae, they also swim at the surface of the ocean. So, I mean, I want to remind our community, though, that it is a drop in the ocean. Sunscreen pollution is a drop in the ocean. In order of magnitude, it's nothing compared to climate change or overfishing or ocean pollution. However, it is still a driver of reef destruction, particularly when you look at island nations or highly touristic reef areas where you get many swimmers every day applying sunscreen. The sunscreen can leach off. And in island nations where there are hundreds of thousands of tourists coming every year using pools and hotels and then showering the sunscreen off into the shower or even flushing the toilets. As I said, sunscreen can be detected in urine, sunscreen chemicals. Yeah. These island nations sometimes don't have the proper sewage systems. So there's a lot of runoffs directly onto the reef. So it is hard to understand the magnitude of the problem. I think even if it's a very small issue compared to the, you know, climate change and all those bigger threats to our reefs, I think it's an issue that can be resolved so quickly just with a change in our habits. We can just change the way we consume sunscreen and use sunscreen and just educating ourselves.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about, if we can, using your knowledge of the, what coral reefs are and why they're so important to, you know, our global ecosystems. Because I think a lot of people, especially, you know, we've got people listening in from all over the world for this show. And so, you know, everybody's coming from different environments. But I think those that especially live inland and don't have much contact perhaps with the sea every day, they might not recognize how important these ecosystems are in keeping the whole planet healthy. Could you just give us a bit of an idea of, you know, why it's so important for us to protect these environments?
Yeah, well, we often like to compare coral reefs with rainforests. Coral reefs are usually located in tropical areas where there's not much nutrients in the water itself, like there's not much plankton or things like that, like in the North Sea, you know, in the channel where when the sea is turbid, it has a lot of plankton and food. But in tropical, transparent, beautiful-looking oceans, there is the water is poor in nutrients. However, the reef provides a structure and a 3D structure, a foundation for other species to settle and live. It's like real estate in a desert. You put coral reefs, they provide habitat, and they also provide food. Some fish are specialized in eating corals. They have very small mouths. The butterfly fish, for example, are exclusively feeding on corals. Mm-hmm. And you have all sorts of organisms that live within the reef that provides food for other fish. And then those fish are prey to bigger fish. And it's an entire ecosystem. So in terms of area covered in the ocean, it's only 0.1%. It's a tiny amount compared to how big our oceans are, but they shelter 25% of all ocean species, and they provide countless services to island nations and coastal areas, such as protection against storm damage and erosion. And they provide food, so much food, and countless other services, such as jobs. A lot of island nations rely on their reefs to attract tourists. So it's at the base of their tourism industry. This is how our reefs support Earth globally. And so in terms of how they support the ocean health, they have a huge role in carbon sequestration. It's just all part of a balance. There's so less we understand still about the importance of our reefs. Even reefs, we'll often forget about deeper reefs that not many people know about, or even, you know, we don't snorkel deep reefs, but there's reefs all over the world that are at the base of a huge food chain. So this is how they're important to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm always trying, I mean, I'm an avid scuba diver. I've been scuba diving for many, many years. And so I've been really lucky in that I've actually got to experience many different coral reef systems around the world. But actually, you know, a lot of our audience are based in the UK, and within the UK itself, we don't have coral reefs, but we do have reef systems and really important seaweed species as well that are equally massively affected by these chemicals. And so really you can look at anywhere in the world, the oceans are negatively affected. And so making that positive decision to use products that are known to be, you know, safe. People always consider their own health first, don't they? And, you know, I think most people are now starting to become more aware of how dangerous some of these chemicals are for human use as well. So tell me about the products that you offer them within your range.
So People for Ocean, so we created People for Ocean after learning about the toxic impacts of sunscreen on coral reefs. And we were back there with my husband working on a large scale reef restoration project in the Seychelles. And we just were shocked initially learning about this. And we found it pretty ironical that we could be harming the very corals we were growing in our nurseries just by protecting our skin, because we needed to protect our skin being exposed to the elements every day. So we partnered with my mother-in-law, who is the founder of La Gaia Skincare in Melbourne, Australia, and been formulating natural skincare for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we've combined our expertise of ocean conservation with their expertise of skin health to create People for Ocean. Because initially, when looking for safer alternatives, we only found that most natural sunscreens were catering for children and babies, not really adults. So we wanted to be able to apply a beautiful sunscreen that was good for our skin, that was lovely to apply. So we created People for Ocean Sun Care. And our second intention was also to reverse the damage done to the reef by contributing a percentage of profits back to reef restoration projects that we work with, that we support, and all more projects globally, really. We wanted to create a movement for safer sun protection for people, and create a movement, a global movement for the reef, because it you know, it is a simple switching from a chemical-based sunscreen that has lots of toxins that we never knew about to something just natural is even more effective. So yes, with P4O, we are making sunscreen application more than a personal act of care. It becomes a commitment to your health and to the health of our ocean. So we provide a range of course, reef-safe sunscreens that are free of ocean-polluting ingredients. And we use zinc oxide as our active ingredients, which is recognized as the safest broad spectrum sunscreen active, both by the FDA, the Australian Therapeutic Good Administration, and the Environmental Working Group. There is a consensus about zinc oxide. It is very effective because it sits on top of the skin like a mirror, and it blocks UV rays very effectively without needing to be absorbed into the skin a little further. So we make sure all our products are 3-hour water resistant. That's another step towards reef safety, making sure minimal product leaches into the water. Yeah, we ensure that our formulas are completely free of ocean polluting ingredients. Excellent.
I mean, I know that for a lot of people, you know, this is quite a new way to think, really. I mean, we've all been so familiar with these large brands of sun care that we've all used our whole lives, really. You know, our parents used it on us, and we just naturally fell into the rhythm of using the same brands on our own children.
Yeah, just like me, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. And so this is just, you know, it's worth, I think, you know, we're both mothers, and so we, you know, we want to protect our children. But if you're at all worried about how effective these products are, try them on yourself first before you use them on the children. But, you know, like you say, zinc oxide is so amazingly effective, and yet utterly safe for human use and for environmental use as well. So it's well worth trying them out. So where can people buy your products then?
You can buy online. So we have UK-based partners. You can buy at peopleforocean.co.uk. And through a few distributors, a few retailers in the UK, but I know how online is so popular these days. People just, we're going to start a subscription system, actually, because sunscreen's becoming an everyday product.
Absolutely.
Especially here in Australia. Mm-hmm. It's like coffee in the morning. People apply their sunscreen every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if, you know, especially here in the UK, obviously we traditionally have quite a lot less sun. We're having an amazing heat wave summer at the moment. So we're just, we're constant. And I think we're all becoming very much more aware of the effects that the sun can have on our skin. But like you say, all year round, you know, you can still have UV damage. And if you're really trying to look after your skin, then you should be applying something every day. So brilliant. So that's the website people can go to. And I assume that you have a lot of information about what we've been talking about, a lot of education there on the website as well. So people can go away and learn a bit more. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, plenty. You can head to our Instagram page as well. We like to do a few posts, informative posts, and yes, we have a lot of blogs about all of this.
Yeah, yeah. And what's your Instagram such feed? Big.
You go to @peopleforocean.
Lovely, brilliant.
So people4ocean.
Lovely. Easy. Brilliant. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Louise. It's really fascinating. And obviously your scientific background really helps, because you understand, you know, on a very deep level, you've got real deep understanding of, you know, quite how dangerous all of these chemicals can be. And you know, just the awful negative effects. I mean, it would be devastating, actually, to lose coral reef systems, not only because of the knock-on effect it would have for oceans around the world, but just, I mean, if you have been able to snorkel or scuba dive on any of these areas, you'll realise just how utterly beautiful they are and just how much life is contained within them. So I know people like you and I are very lucky, but we've got to experience it. But
It's a small change that we make in our everyday life, just switching to safer cosmetics, cleaner cosmetics, and we're better for it. And so if the reef's better for it, it's a win-win. So why not? Why not make the change?
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you.